Oh, I wanted, let's sing that, Lord, listen to your children praying. Sorry. Let's respond to that one. Just quietly singing. Listen now to the preaching of God's word. I'm going to read some of the sections a little bit later as we go along, and you can follow along in the PowerPoints. I think I put a sermon notes in there as well. If they're in the bulletin, that you can fill in. I want to start with a sad joke. You know, and I don't mean it kind of flippantly, but Ravi Zacharias calls it a sad joke. And he tells this, while the two men were walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, some of you may recognize that as after Easter Sunday in Luke 24, these two guys are walking on the road, and Jesus somehow comes alongside and joins them. And that's where Luke picks up the story. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was," and then they go into a long explanation of who Jesus was as they understood him. And what Ravi Zacharias calls the sad joke is, the sad reality is that Jesus is the only one who understood what went on in Jerusalem that weekend. The only one. And humbly submitted, because that story is in God's word, in God's word we have it here, and the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, you and I can know. You and I can know what things are happening in Washington or Moscow or Tehran or Jerusalem or wherever. We can understand what is happening week after week because we have God's word. Now, what I want to do in these, as some of you know, I will be retiring in this week and then two more to go only, Sundays. What I want to do, and this is going to be old hat for some of you who have been here. For some of you, it'll be a good reminder. And for some of you, it may be brand new. What I want to do this week and next week and then finally on the last sermon 2 weeks from today, I'm not going to make it about me. It's not about me. But I want to use, if I may, matters that have impressed me for 40 years. 40 years. The title of the sermon, How to Live Dynamically in 2017. How to live dynamically, and the series I kind of put it as biblical word pictures that fueled ministry for 40 years for me, but then of course how to live dynamically. Here's the theme text. Put the next one up there, Tezway. All right, the theme text. Oh, there you see the whole thing. How to live dynamically. Now the next one, brother. I want to use this as a theme text. I'm not going to deal anything with that verse as such, but I wanted you to for 40 years, it has been my prayer that from Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. One generation of preachers, I guess, too, commends your works to another. And they tell of your mighty acts. But it's much more about preachers. One generation, all of you sitting in front of me, some of you who I have 70 years and reason of strength 80, that's tremendous. Commend your works to a next generation, and they tell of your mighty works. So, two words
there's two words that set the tone for my ministry for all these years. And when I discovered those two words, I discovered them, the things opened up for me in a very practical and I think wonderful way. And I knew, starting off in my ministry way back in 1977, just south of Calgary, Alberta, in a little town of High River, Alberta, I knew in my heart that as God blessed my ministry, He would bless the congregations, whatever I served. But these two words, so I'm going to give them again to you this morning, and some of you already know probably what they are. So two Old Testament Hebrew words. Put the next one up, brother. Here they are. Two Old Testament. Now, I've just a quick little, not, well, anyway, the Hebrew has no vowels. The Hebrew language originally has no vowels. When the Septuagint was translated into Greek, they put vowels in. But the original Hebrew has no vowels. So you would just have BRK. And you could put Barak, you could put E up, you could put an E there, you could put A there, you could put O there. You just have to put you have to put the vowels in. So BRK, Barak, and names like Barak, our own son, Barry, Barack, Obama. And the second Hebrew word, Ashar, S-A-S-H-E-R. But of course, those are just substituted. The vowels are substituted in there. S-H-R means. And both of these words, both these are the two words that set the pattern for the way I wanted ministry to go unfold in my years. Put the next one up, and there you'll get it. Barak means to bless. Ashar means to bless. Two of the Hebrew words for to bless. But the key difference between these two, there's a key difference. Well, they both say the same thing. Yeah, they both mean to bless. But the key difference between these two put the next one up too. We're going to go through this. Here we go. Put the next one up. Is the direct object. Barak means to bless. Ashar means to bless, but the difference between these two is the direct object. For example, I got that example in there. The woman hit the ball. Subject of that sentence is woman. The verb, hit. The direct object, ball. The is just a direct article. The ball, not a ball. But anyway, woman hit ball. The ball is the direct object, right? In other words, the direct object in some ways doesn't do anything. It's acted upon. It would have just sat there. But when the woman swung the club and hit the ball, shoom, there it went. The ball didn't hit the ball. The woman hit the ball. So it's a direct object. Now, I'm going to put these two together. To bless, Barak. Put the next one up and then we'll have. To bless, Barak, the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, Psalm 103. I'll put that one. That will be up there in a few minutes, but just leave it here, Tezwe. To bless, the Lord is the direct object. So when a congregation blesses the Lord, it's worshiping. To bless the Lord is to worship, because the word picture of Barak means literally to bow before. And you can see, if you're in your mind, you can see people coming to Jerusalem, bow before. Actually, other religions have that too. They bow before, you know. But we're talking about the worship of the living God. Worship. Bow before Him. The Lord is the object of our worship. So when we come into this building, we come into this building to bow before, to worship Him with our songs, our prayers, our Lord's Supper, our giving, our the opening of His Word. We're here to bring praise to You, O Lord. And that's what we seek to do. Now, the other one, to bless the direct object, a man, a woman, a family, a nation. The word picture is, and this is the one that has really helped me all my years, on the right road. In fact, I call my Bible study at the at the YMCA for 6 years. Now it's been going on Fridays. I call it the On the Right Road Bible study. On the right road. So when are you blessed? When everything goes your way? Not necessarily. When you have all kinds, are you unblessed if everything is going south on you? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You are blessed when you are on the right road. Now, we put those two together, on the right road and to bless. And I submit to you, put the next one up, Tezwe, and we'll have the answer to our sermon title is now clearly before our eyes. How can I live dynamically in 2017, no matter what happens, even if you have to stand at a grave, or you exchange vows at a wedding, or if you graduate, or you change jobs, you change cities, whatever. Retire? How can I live dynamically in 2017? The answer is succinctly, worship God and move forward on the right road with your life. As a matter of fact, when you put them together, one of the reasons we come here to worship is so that we bring our praise to God, we listen to His word, preached by somebody that He's called to preach, not just somebody, your turn to get up there. No, it's somebody that God has called to preach and teach, and then we learn how to walk the right road. As we worship God, how are we going to walk the right road in our marriages, in our singleness, in our jobs, in our neighborhood? Everything goes well financially for us, or if it goes south financially for us, how are we going to walk the right road? And the preaching of God's word ought to, in that sense, help us walk the right road together. So let me give you an example here. Put the next one up, Tezwe, right there is the answer to that one. Worship, bow before God, worship, and walk, move forward on the right road. Now we go for the next one. Example of blessing God, to Barak God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, worship the Lord, bow before Him. Worship Him, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits. And I love this next little line because it seems like where the psalmist says, and forget not all His benefits. The first one he mentioned is, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He puts you on the right road. Your sins are forgiven. Heals all your diseases doesn't mean that all of a sudden if you come down with cancer that it is 2017, well, everything's going to go. Heals all your diseases is an eternal perspective. You're going to be with Him in the new creation forever. No, He does heal diseases as well. On the right road. Worship begins with worship. Barak. On the right road, Ishar. And then a warning. Let me give you a warning. Got it, Tezwe, the next one. If people choose not to build their lives with the habitual habit of worship of God with His people, the church, a little bit what Janice was talking about with Heather. She's just getting started and she needs to be encouraged to understand that you need to develop this habit for yourself and your little daughter. Because if you don't, here is the dynamics. As somebody said, this isn't my phrase, anyway, if you don't come apart like now, come leave your homes, leave your businesses, and come here and sit together for an hour and worship God. And take in His sacrament as we do the first of the year, first of the month. If you don't come apart, you will come apart. God built that into His very creation. The very first day of Adam, when God created male and female in His own image, the sixth day of creation, and God said, there is the whole creation out there. There it is. It calls for scientific activities and sailing the oceans and discovering space and technology and you name it, agriculture. It's all there. Go out there, made in my image, and give me praise and worship. The very first day, if you will, in the seventh day pattern, that is, very first day Adam had was a day of rest. And the seventh day, the Lord rested. What did he do? He celebrated his good creation, and Adam celebrated with him. I mean, that's the pattern that it has there. So when I put those two together with this whole worship, bow before God, direct object is God, and then on the right road, I want to make this comment too, only human beings, I want you to ponder this one with me, because it took me a long time pondering this one, and I think I'm right. I think only human beings can bless God. The birds, the animals, the flowers, the fish, the trees, they all respond to how God made them. Oak tree to grow sturdy, cactus to have sharp points, a swallow to build a nest under a bridge where she can lay her eggs, and a wolf to hunt in packs. The whole creation proclaims the greatness of God, but only human beings bow before him and worship him, because only human beings are conscious of the fact of their creator. Only human beings. A dog does what a dog does, and it's a wonderful gift of God's creation in our lives. But a dog does not know. It knows its master, and he thinks it's you or whoever, doesn't know the creator. Human beings worship because human beings are made in the image of God. And that's why worship, listen to God, bring your worship to God, take in his sacraments, hear the prayers of his people. When somebody's going through a tough time in the congregation, you pray for them, cheer each other on, and on and on and on as we worship. Listen to him and choose or choose not to obey him. Worship. And I just, for the kind of the fun of it, I think I got my adjectives right here or description right. The creation, animals and birds, they gather too, don't they? They gather in groups, but not to worship. For example, here it is. There may be a scatter of crows, a pack of wolves, a herd of elk, a school of fish, a flock of sheep. They're all together, but they're not worshiping. They're not worshiping. They may be looking for food, going to a new pasture, heading south for the winter, or escaping danger, but they are not gathered to worship. We are. We are human beings called to worship God. So once again, Barak, bow before God. Make it your habit to worship him with his people. And then as you worship him, you'll be instructed in his word how to walk the road, how to walk the right road. So let me give you an example, and there's where we're going to, an example of being a blessed man, woman, or nation. Put the next one up there, brother. Psalm 1. And I'll just read it for you. Psalm 1, the door. The door to the 150 Psalms. He opens the door. If you're going to walk into the Psalms, you'll walk in through Psalm 1. Blessed is the one human being. So, on the right road is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, take, or sit in the company of mockers. But on the right road, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then the last verse, for the Lord watches over the way on the right road. He watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1. Put the next one up, Tezwe, and you can. The entire book of Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs, is about wise decisions and learning how to live on the right road. And so when you go to the book of Proverbs, what do you find? You find instruction about how to handle your tongue, how to handle work, how to handle difficult people, how to build a building, how to handle sexuality, how to handle your anger, and on and on and on. All kinds of instructions. The whole book of Proverbs. Folks, my son, listen. My daughter, listen. Let me give you instruction how to walk the right road so that you do not get off on a tangent. So the Lord blesses you on the right road. I mean, over and over and over again, the same thought. And then you come to this one. Now we go up the next one there. We jump to the New Testament here. The Beatitudes is the opening section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is, again, my opinion. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a commentary on Psalm 1. Because he pulls it in a few different times in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll give you just another example in a second. Commentary. Jesus opened his mouth and taught his disciples. Notice the word blessed. It occurs 9 times in rapid succession. And the direct object is always people. I'm going to read it to you. It'll be up on the screen. But I'm going to read it to you by putting the blessed on the right road. So put it up there, Tezway, and when I get it. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He's going to teach them what it means to be on the right road. He's going to teach them what Psalm 1 is all about. He said, on the right road are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. On the right road are those who mourn, that is, feel deeply about their own sin, the situations of the country, the world. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. On the right road are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. On the right road are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Next one. On the right road are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You are on the right road when you are pure in heart, for they will see God. You are on the right road. On the right road are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. On the right road are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are on the right road when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. I love this last verse too. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. What does that tell you? That tells you where the road is going. Walk the road, folks. Whether you're this old or you're in your 90s, walk the road, walk it. Because great is your reward. That's where it's going. It's going to the eternal city, to heaven. And then I love this last little phrase too. And you have a whole history behind you. It ties you into history. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the church before you, and you're here, commend your ways to the next generation that they may worship you, the theme text. And there you have that. Later in the sermon, I'm almost finished here now, and then you ponder what we have to put the next one up, Tezway, and there we go. Later in the same sermon, Jesus makes Psalm 1 very clear with a warning. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. Enter through the narrow gate so you can get on the right road. Now, what's the narrow gate? Well, let me just, I'll fill that in a second when I put a little trivia question here. What are the first 5 words? Don't put it up yet, brother. Leave it there. What are the first 5 words of the very next verse? See, sometimes we put these things, and usually in my Bible, I got a big heading in between it. And it shouldn't be. I mean, Jesus, one sermon, he didn't stop and say, now put a heading in between here. When you preach the sermon, he right on through. So what are the next 5 words about the, what are the first 5 words after this verse? And remember, his warning is, make sure you enter by the narrow gate. Make sure you be, for wide is the gate, broad the road, leads to destruction, and many, 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 most people are on it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. What are the first 5 words of the next verse? Here you go, Tezway. Watch out for false prophets. Why? Why? Because a false prophet will come and say, yeah, that's a good book. It's a good book. Yeah, it's, you know, it's what the enemy doesn't just say, this book is a bunch of trash. No, it's good. It's good for you to read it. He's also going to say, you know, the narrow way is not just about Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. It's not that narrow. That's way too narrow. Way too narrow. There are many, many ways. Many, many ways that your life will be pleasing to God. Many, many ways. Watch out for false prophets. Last PowerPoint. Put it up and we're pondering question. Do the meaning of these two words, Barak, bow before, worship, and Ashar, you are on the right road, fuel how you will intentionally choose to take on 2017? Would you stand for worship, for prayer rather? Father, thank you. I just personally want to thank you, just from my own, when I discovered through the help of other people, as you know, I'm not that smart, the help of other people, other scholars, these two key words to bless, I knew way back then that if by your Spirit I could help congregations see the crucially important matter of taking themselves to worship so that they could identify with the local church, its pains, its sorrows, its joys, its struggles, and then by the preaching of your word, somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit would take that and mold a congregation, a people, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be your people in the midst of the world, wherever it was, in the country or city or around the world. Thank you, Father, for this. It's really so down to earth to come and worship you. Because we love you, we thank you for all that you have done. We commend your ways to the next generation. And then, Father, we pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the help of fellow Christians to walk the narrow road that leads to the eternal city. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond, but you may be seated.